In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The psalmist proclaims, "The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want." We are all very familiar with that psalm, both in written and in musical form. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing else I shall want. Those are the words that he proclaims, and we ourselves on occasion proclaim them as well. But as oftentimes I find in my own life, I'm drawn short, because while I profess these words with my lips, my life simply does not reflect them. And in truth, brothers and sisters, the reality of sacred scripture, because it is alive in Christ, who is present to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the most holy Eucharist, is such that it cannot merely be words contained on a page, but must come alive in every aspect of how we live our daily lives. Which means I can prefer nothing, desire nothing, have nothing above God Himself. I can't allow anything, anyone, any reality to impede that primary relationship. It doesn't mean I don't have other relationships, but everything about who I am should begin and end and emanate from that intimate relationship that provides me all that I need. And the fruit that then comes forth from that relationship is such that we are men and women of constancy. We are fervent and zealous for the things of God. And we live in the world in peace, with God first, and then with one another. And if, as I say these things, you're thinking to yourself, well, those are nice ideas, Monsignor, but the reality of the world in which we live seems to speak against that, then we have to take ownership of our responsibility for that fact. We're not responsible for everything in the world, or really everyone in the world. And in truth, we may not even be responsible for all those people who make up that unit that we call our family, but we certainly are responsible for ourselves in the manner in which we live our lives, in the manner in which we are men and women of a constant faith. And so when we hear our Lord proclaim to us that I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, those words as well are not merely contained in a page, but of that which has come to pass, because that is precisely what it is that he has done. He gave his life in exchange for our own. And so not only does the psalmist proclaim that indeed the Lord is my shepherd, but now we know the fullness of what it means for God to care for us, we who are his sheep. He will go so far as to literally give himself in order that we might be protected. We're not guarded by hirelings who come and go, leaving the sheep unattended if indeed there is something else, or if they find themselves caught up in fear. Instead, we are under the fold of one who loves us so completely and totally that he gives himself to us completely and totally. Now, the elephant in the room, of course, is that this passage also has applicability to the world in which we find ourselves and the situation of the church today. I know oftentimes I may seem as if all I do is speak about how bad things actually are and how difficult the world actually is and all the things we have to fight. Well, all those things are true. They're not going to go away simply because I choose not to speak about them. If we speak about happy things, then life will be happy. Well, it's not that way. Because the fact of the matter is, the shepherds that have been given to us now oftentimes look like hirelings, more concerned about the things of men, or immediately abandoning us because they found something better, or because out of fear they have chosen to abandon the sheep. But then there is the other reality of this as well, and that is the sheep themselves have turned on the shepherds and they've attacked them. And so we have this almost untenable, unthinkable situation. Sheep who have gone astray, who become violent in their interactions with the shepherds, and the shepherds may be in response, but probably not. They themselves have chosen to walk away. We have all been abandoned. Now, if this were a French movie, I would sit down and that would be the end of the conversation. But we know that there is more, obviously. And the fact is that even if we find ourselves abandoned by the very men God has set aside to shepherd us, God is still our shepherd. And we are not alone. And we know right from wrong. And we know how it is we ought to live in our lives. That's inscribed in us. And if somehow that goes missing, we receive the living God himself who renews that relationship in us. And so we know what it is that we ought to do. and we know how it is we ought to live. And even if all of the other sheep have chosen to go astray, we need to remain faithful. And if we find ourselves at times wandering aimlessly because there is no one to lead us, we come here and find the living God, and he will precisely do that. It is indeed a sad state of affairs in which the church finds herself today, and there is no playbook for how we move forward, except that which God has always told us to do. The answer has always been there. And so while I may not have an immediate response to what's happening immediately in history, what history reveals, what salvation history reveals, is that God is always there for his faithful. He is the good shepherd, who not only once in time in history cared for his sheep, but continues to do so down throughout the ages. So there is no reason to feel lost or confused or abandoned, even if at times we might experience our life of faith in that particular manner. God will always provide. God will always be there to safeguard and protect us. And brothers and sisters, these cannot be pious platitudes, things that either I say to you to make you feel better or things that you accept in here because you want to feel better. They must be the foundation of our Catholic life. Precisely because there are so many hirelings swirling around the church, so many forces arrayed against us, that we have to renew our efforts to be in relationship with he who is the good shepherd. Because beside him there is no one else. There is nothing else that can satisfy and complete us. Only God in Christ. And that is how we need to live. And then what comes from that truly is a life of peace. A life of calm, a life of tranquility, not a life absent from strife and difficulty. Don't equate those two. If my life is tranquil, if my life is peaceful, that means I have no difficulties. No, quite the opposite times is often true. The more peaceful and tranquil your life may be, the more Satan will come and attack you. But you are well armed, well prepared, well fortified to withdraw and endure and withstand any and all attacks upon you and attacks upon the faith. Because of the words that are spoken in Scripture, yes. Because he who spoke those words also remains with us as the living word himself. And so in the final analysis, you don't have to take my word for it or my exhortations. But if you come forward to kneel down and receive the living God, then you are indeed taking God's word and you're pledging yourself to live according to the one that you actually receive. To say amen. To accept God inside of yourself is to say, yes, I believe. I accept all that I know and real, revealed is true. And I trust completely in you, my Lord, who is the good shepherd. So listen to his voice. Create space in your heart. Be men and women of prayer so you become more and more attuned to the voice of God speaking to you. And when God calls, you follow after him wherever it is he may lead you. And even if at times it may seem we're being led into the jaws of death itself, have no fear, because the one leading us has conquered sin and death once for all. The Lord is indeed the good shepherd who has given his life for we who are his sheep. Let us continue to rejoice at the new life that has been bestowed upon us and pray for courageous and faithful hearts to follow our shepherd wherever it is that he may go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.